Good morning. After any battle or conquest, the king of the victorious nation always returns to his throne because it's from his seat of power that he continues to exercise his governance and protection over his kingdom. He's gone out, won the victory, liberated his lands, freed his people, and now from the throne, he can act justly and swiftly for the betterment and the building up of his people. If the king did not return, he wouldn't maybe really have the full ability of exercising his unique kingly power. He would not necessarily have full access to his treasury from which he could support his people and his kingdom. Now, in a similar way, by Christ's ascension into heaven, which, of course, we celebrate today, roughly 40 days after Easter, our triumphant Lord returns to take his seat at the right hand of the Father. And from there, from the treasury of his love, he's constantly pouring out upon us, his citizens, all of his grace and his mercy. We could say then that he establishes three things for us by his ascension. Firstly, what it is that we hope for, the definitive establishment of the kingdom of heaven, the means of attaining this goal, namely grace, and thirdly, the mission of building up this kingdom here on earth. This is why the apostles in today's first reading, return to Jerusalem with great joy, rejoicing, because they understood that our Lord's ascension was not his abandonment of us to the sometimes harsh realities of this world, but rather it was the definitive establishing of his kingdom, his giving us a hope and a mission. So firstly, we look to what exactly it is that we hope in. Our Lord, as the second reading from Hebrews said, now that he's ascended to the Father, appears before God on our behalf so that we can have the confidence of entrance into the Father's inner court. This is the fulfillment of Christ's promise in the Gospel of John that he's going to prepare a place for us in his Father's house. And we hear this over and over again in John's Gospel that, the Lord says, I am going to the Father, to my Father and your Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will send you the Spirit. I tell you the truth that I am giving you the promises of my Father. Yes, he's won the victory over sin and death by his passion, his death, and his resurrection. He's opened that door that was once locked to us because of sin, and now, by ascending to the Father, above all powers and principalities, he beckons from within for us to follow him. This is a great hope. For where the head has gone, the body will follow. Not only, though, does our Lord make this promise to us, he also gives us the means of obtaining it, because on our own, we can't do it. From his throne, he gives us the Holy Spirit and his grace, making us capable of following the path back to the Father. We know grace restores, elevates, and transforms our once broken souls, our wounded human nature, making us able to then be united to God once again. It's grace, this free gift of God, which incorporates us into his body and allows the divine life to then dwell in us. Of course, we receive this grace first and foremost through the sacraments, mediated to us through the sacraments handed down by the apostles. For example, we lived perhaps as sick wayfarers, orphans on this earth, but through baptism, we were made not only citizens, but co-heirs to the throne. And the Eucharist, given to us once starving, now as food for the journey, sustaining us and strengthening us in love while we follow the path to Christ and the Father. So for the meaning of all of this in our daily lives, how we live this out, we look to that special mission of participating in the building up of the kingdom. And we heard that call from the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. We have all received the Spirit in our baptism, and it's now our role of defending His name and making known to all the nations the victory, His victory, over sin and death. We do this, of course, as we receive the sacraments and then go out into the world, living our daily existence sort of in light of being citizens and co-heirs to the throne of God, living in faith, hope, and charity in any job, any vocation. We are building up the kingdom of God as we love our neighbor and God. You know, it says in scriptures, they will know that you are Christians by the love that you have for one another. Would that they would say the same about each and every one of us. Now, it may sometimes seem like the king no longer pays us any notice, that he's maybe sitting on his throne, kind of becoming opulent and letting us flounder here on earth. But I assure you, and Christ assures us, that he has sent us his grace and his Holy Spirit, that his very life dwells in us, making us capable of reaching him and one day seeing him in heaven. He is actively drawing each and every one of us to himself. So this morning, as we prepare to encounter the very presence of God in the Eucharist, perhaps we might ask him today and throughout this week to strengthen our hope in one day seeing him face to face in heaven, strengthen our hope in the promises that he has made to us, and to strengthen our hope in the meaningfulness of our mission as citizens living here below on earth, but not just citizens of this earth, citizens of heaven, building up his kingdom here on earth so that we can return with great joy, like the apostles, but to the heavenly Jerusalem, and sing forever, all glory be to him, now and forever. Amen.